If you have your Bibles tonight, this is a message. Actually, I guess Brother Andy's probably the only one that's ever heard a portion of this message before. I did it a couple of months ago in the men's meeting. It was just a short devotional is what it was that morning. And the Lord laid it on my heart. And the title of that message or that devotion was Excuses. But you know, the Lord, as Christians, we're supposed to grow. And since I delivered that devotion, that message that day, the Lord has spoken to me that wasn't the total title of the message. And I'll tell you what the rest of it is in a little bit, but the original title was Excuses. We go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Very familiar scripture. Of course, we're talking about a fellow by the name of Moses. We know that Moses at this point in Exodus chapter 3 has fled Egypt because he's killed a man, an Egyptian, and he has fled, and he is now, and we'll pick it up in chapter 3 and verse 1, and it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the brush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. You know, that's the most important part. When God calls, let's answer. You know, many times we make excuses. Well, God, I can't do that. But a lot of times we just don't even answer with God. We just ignore him. And we say, you know, that's just my imagination, that's this or that, or we'll make plenty of excuses why not to listen and heed the word of God. But we're good at it. We're good at it. We become really good at that. And then it goes on, and it says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for that he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites. I should have studied in English a lot better pronunciation of words, huh? Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? In verse 13, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? You see, Moses has already got two excuses. Well, who am I, first off? You know, I'll tell you something. When I stand in this pulpit, I'm humbled to stand here, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, I know there are men within our church, not just our pastor, but men within our church that are more studied, that are more able and to do this. But it does, I don't want to ever come up in here without knowing that God's with me. You know, if I ever come up here and think that God's not with me, I'm not coming up in here, first off. I'm just not going to do it. And I don't want to, I want folks to know that, you know, that keeps me humble. That makes me realize, you know, I realize my limitations. A lot of times my wife says I don't know my limitations sometimes. She gets on me all the time because I don't drink enough water when it's hot and all this stuff here, you know. But anyways, and I listen. I don't always take it to heart, but I listen. But I realize that we have limitations, and I have limitations. And I realize that, like I say, I'm not probably the one that's most capable of standing here. When I look at Brother Derek, and I think of the knowledge that he has within him, it just blows me away. You know, I've always been in awe of how he can just take the scriptures and he can just open it up and he can just pour it out to us in the Pahuki translation, as he calls it. And you can just grasp it. It's just like it's right there and you just grab a hold to it. And you can just put it to use right there because he's got it right there and he can explain it to us. And, you know, not everybody can do that. I'll tell you, I've sat under a lot of pastors in my life and not everybody's able to do that which he does, and I'm very thankful for him. Like I say, I feel inadequate, to be quite honest with you, when I stand here, because he is truly a great man of God to me in my eyes, and I appreciate him having the confidence for me to stand here tonight, and I do appreciate that, and I don't take it lightly, and I don't take it for granted that he allows me to do that, because he doesn't just let anybody come into his pulpit, you know, and I appreciate that about him as well. Of course, he's running out of options. Brother Adam's down there. He's down there. Brother Andy would have been a better suited to come up here, to be honest with y'all, but I do appreciate the opportunity that he gives me to stand here before you. Then we're going to flip over to Exodus 4 and verses 10 through 15 we're going to look at. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. More excuses. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, when I come up here, I hope that the words people hear are not mine. I certainly don't read off of a sheet and tell you a speech that I've written out. I try to read out of the Bible and let you take out a bit what God gives you, because, you know, he is God. He can speak to the hearts of his people. And I don't want you to ever hear me. I mean, I have life experience, of course, like everybody else in this room does. But God knows us from the inside to the furthest innards of us all the way to the outside. And I know that he can speak to you in ways that I can't speak to you. And I just hope that you don't hear me necessarily, but you hear God speaking through me today and tonight. He says, in verse 12, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And in verse 15, And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. You know, that's all we can ever ask for, is God leading us through this life. Without him, we're lost. Without him, we're just drifting out there, just wandering, and we don't have any purpose. We don't have any direction unless we follow what he's telling us to do. But you know, I said that at the beginning of it, and back 2 months ago, I picked the title of this to be excuses. But you know, I got to thinking about that, and after Brother Derek taught this past weekend and preached this past weekend, I got to thinking about that, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know, it wasn't so much Moses was making excuses. And this is something that I think we all have a problem with. We have a lack of a belief in ourselves and our abilities. That is the number one thing that holds us back, is our lack of belief in ourselves. You know, people can tell you, hey, you can do this or you can do that, but we, looking at ourselves, we can't see that in us. You know, I'll tell you, it's been many years ago now. The date was September 1st, 1997. And the Lord spoke to me, not in a voice that was out audible. It was a voice within me. And he told me something. He said, you're going to be preaching on this certain day. I'm like, who's he talking to? He ain't talking to me. I don't stand in front of people. I don't stand in front of any people. At that point in time, I was doing a little bit of children's chapel work, but that was actually by default. We'd had a vacation Bible school, much like we had last week here, and we had a lot of kids there. It was the previous church that I had attended, and we had a bunch of kids, and, you know, we said, you know, we got to do something about this. There's a lot of kids that are hungry for the gospel, and they're not going to get it if they come in here with the adults a lot of times, and they need to have something for themselves. They need to have a junior church. And we had a young man that had been working with the youth in the church, and he said, okay, I'll do it. Well, that first weekend, I'd said, well, you know, I'll help. I'll help out in there. I can do that. Didn't have any kids of my own, but I was scared to death of kids, really and truly, to be honest with you. And that first week, something came up. I had to work, actually, that Sunday, and I wasn't able to be there. And he was there, and he did a message from what I was told. Then come the next week, I came in, and I was there, and he wasn't there. And here we are with a bunch of kids sitting here in a children's chapel and nobody to preach to them. I don't really remember what we did that day. We just kind of muffled our way through it that day. And during that week, the Lord spoke to me. He said, he's not going to be back. And you know what? He never showed back up. He never set foot back in that church again. But the Lord said, you better have something ready for those kids next Sunday. And you know, from that Sunday to the next 20 years almost, I had a message for those kids every Sunday. And the Lord blessed me through that ministry so very much. There were some hardships. There were some hard times in it. You know, you get attached to kids and they move away, and sometimes, you know, running a bus route like I did back then, you'll go and there'll be issues at home. The first bus kids I ever visited, I went up there and knocked on the door. Kids had attended Vacation Bible School, and I said, I'd like to pick up your kids. And the lady slammed the door in my face. She said, I don't have time for this. Well, what did I do? Stubborn, dummy me, went back the next weekend and knocked on the door again. And I said, we're starting a bus route in here, and I'd like to pick up your kids. She was a little bit better mood that week, and she said, okay. And then for the next, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, I picked up her kids on the bus route. Both of them got saved during that time. I got to deal with some of her older children. And that lady that slammed the door in my face came to me one Sunday. And she said, one of my kids is going astray and I need help. She was in tears. She didn't attend church, but she came after church and she wanted to meet with me. And she said, I need help. And I told her, I worked out a plan with her. I said, here's what we'll do. I said, I'm going to pick up this individual. And I'm gonna start taking on bus visitation with me every Saturday morning. And I picked him up, and we started going on bus visitation. And, you know, it seemed like every time that kid went with me, which was most every Saturday, I always had a better attendance record than what I did when I went without that kid. And, you know, back a few years back, I actually preached at mother's funeral for those kids. We became really good friends through that, from her slamming a door in my face to the point where her kids and she trusted me enough to do her own service. I could have made excuses. I could have not went into that children's chapel. I could have said, you know, I didn't volunteer for this. I'm not cut out for this. But getting back to that, I could have made excuses for that. But getting back to September 1st, 1997, I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. It wasn't a loud voice, you know, like you, me, and me talking together. I just knew it within my being. I went to church the next night at my church. I was at another church that night when I was at a missions conference at another church. And I went to my church that night. It was the men's meeting on that Tuesday night. I went there and the preacher stood up and he said, and by the way, the Lord had told me, he said, you're going to be preaching this certain day at this certain time. Of course, I'm like, not me. Nah, I'm not going to be. Somebody else might be, but I'm not going to be. Went to church that night. The preacher said, fellas, I'm going to be out of town on such and such a date. You know what that date was? It was the date the Lord had told me I was going to be preaching. I had no way of knowing that he was going to make that announcement. And me being me, made excuses. I said, well, you know what? There's older, wiser men in the church, much like I tried to do earlier in the room, and they should do the messages. You know, they're a lot more able to preach than I am. They're a lot more able to fill the pulpit than I am. So I kept my mouth shut during that meeting. One fellow did volunteer for the morning service. And I'm driving around a truck route. At that time, the truck route over here was still two lanes. And I'm driving around a truck route, and I'm sitting there just shaking my head and arguing with God all the way home. Like, God, I can't do this. I don't do people. I'm scared to death standing up in front of those kids. How am I going to stand up in front of an adult church and preach? I said, first off, I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to say. I've never preached in a big church. I hadn't been preaching in a children's chapel but a couple of weeks. And you're expecting me to get up there? And I argued with him the whole way home. And I got home and I picked up the phone and I called the preacher. I said, preacher, I'll take that slot. The excuses had to quit. I had to stop. I'd run from God for a long time. And he had put subtle reminders out there for me down through the years. And I kept ignoring them, making excuses. But it was really, I just didn't feel like I had a lack of belief in myself that I could do that. But that night, September 28, 1997, I got up in the pulpit that night and I preached for an hour and a half. Didn't have anything to say, but an hour and a half later, I got finished. So don't ever say you can't do something. Preacher spoke of this verse a lot. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, we made a reels out of it. That was a really good lesson. 1 Timothy 4, 14, the Bible says this, neglect not, and this is the first part of the verse, neglect not the gift that is in thee. You see, I had no idea when the Lord called to me that night and said that you're going to be preaching this certain day that I could do that. I had no idea when I volunteered to do children's chapel as a helper, you hear me? Helper. I wasn't going to be the pastor. I was going to be the helper. I don't have that gift. I don't have the gift to get through to children, to influence them. I don't have the gift to stand up in front of a bunch of people and talk or preach or whatever you want to call it. I just don't have that ability within me. But you know, the thing that I failed to realize that it wasn't my own strength that I was doing it in. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Romans 8:31 says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, Moses, he didn't have all this book right here to look at. I've got a lot of scripture to go by. I got a lot of mentorship within this book to go by to teach me. I've got a good pastor to teach me. And through his preaching, I realized that, you know, it wasn't that Moses was making excuses. It's just he didn't have any confidence in himself. But, you know, God knows what your gift is, each and every one of us. Like preacher said on Sunday, it may not be that you can preach, may not be that you can teach, but there is a gift, a specific gift that God has given you as an individual. If he called you, if he saved you, then he called you for a purpose. He called you to do something within this ministry or within his ministry, whether it be in this church or whatever church you're a member of or a part of. He called you for a purpose, and he called you to a service. We are his hands and his feet. We are his mouthpiece. The Bible says that the rocks would cry out if we don't stand up and do it. I don't want to be compared to a rock. I may be as hard-headed as a rock sometimes. But I want to be used by God. I want him to use me. You know, Moses thought that he couldn't do what he had to do because his speech was not good. Well, my speech is not good either. But I can get through this for one reason only. And you find the answer to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul had spoke with God about a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. Moses' thorn in the flesh, we know what it was. He couldn't speak well. Don't know if he stuttered or whatever it was, you know. I don't have any idea what it was. But we know what his thorn in the flesh was. Don't know what, some say it was Paul's eyesight. We don't know. We don't know. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and starting verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think me of me above that which be seeth, that be he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me." God had spoke to God, to Paul, in a mighty way. We look at this and we see that half of our New Testament was written down by Paul. But he says this, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." In other words, he couldn't get a big head. That's what it was there for, to keep him humble, to keep him honest. You know, I hope I always come into this pulpit. I hope I don't come in here prideful and pounding my chest and all this stuff here, because God can use a humble person a lot better than he can use a prideful person. Moses wasn't a prideful person. He just didn't understand the gift that God had for him. For this thing I besought the Lord, in verse 8, thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What's the gift that God's given you? Do you know? Do we know what the gift that God had given Moses? Well, I think we read about it the first verse that we read tonight. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. Moses was a natural-born leader and didn't realize it. Sure, he was leading sheep at this point in time, but God could see things in you. He saw something in Moses, and he knew, this is the guy. This is the guy to lead my children out of bondage. And he used him in a great way. Probably the greatest escape. There was an old movie, The Great Escape. You're talking about the greatest escape of all time. Moses led it. A man that said he couldn't speak well, but he was a great leader. And God used him in a mighty way. Now, what is your gift? What is your gift? Sometimes it takes research to find out what it is. You know, I run from God for a long time because I didn't really want to find out what the gift was I had. Still not exactly sure what it is, but I ran for a long time making excuses, having self-doubt that I can't do whatever you want me to do, God. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God calls you to do it, let me tell you something, you can do it. There's nothing under the sun or moon or the stars that you can't do if God leads you to do it. I appreciate your attention tonight. I hope I hadn't bored y'all slammed to sleep and to death. But search for that thing that God's got for you. It may just be that small, still voice that he speaks to and tells you what it is. Problem is, a lot of times we're too busy talking instead of listening to what God's got to say. We want to talk to him and tell him our problems and our needs, but we don't want to listen to him and hear what he has for us to do. Would you stand? Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had today. Lord, I thank you for Moses, the mighty man of God that he was. Lord, even though he doubted himself, you had no doubts in him. You knew what he could do and what he couldn't do. And Lord, through you, he accomplished the greatest escape of all time into the land that you had promised his people. Father, I pray that you just deal with each of one of us and give us the opportunity and the means to do what you have called us to do. Forgive us where we fail you. Bring us back at the next point in time. Be with all those that can't. Lord, I just pray for souls to be saved and lives to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.